Amen. Wow. You know, when Pastor's saying about perspective, and it's why you come through things, it's true. I've preached for years. If God can change your perspective, it can change your whole life. The eye's the lamp of the body. Don't you ever forget that. How you see is what you become. That's why the devil's a blinder. That's why he's a counterfeiter. That's why he tries to blind the eyes of those who don't believe. He doesn't want you to see clear so you can't live clear. Yeah, he's a deceiver. Operates in darkness and blindness and all that stuff. That's why Jesus lives in the light. Come on, it's just too simple. That's just ridiculously simple. Amen. So you live in the light and you walk in the light as he's in the light. Amen. It says you have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus, cleanse you of all sin. When we were singing that last song, He's Alive, I'll tell you what was going through my heart. I'll just pass it on because this stuff stirs me up. The Bible tells you and me to be rooted and grounded in love. It tells you and me that faith worketh through love. That's in Galatians. So you're to be rooted and grounded in love. And faith worketh through love. And no one can love God first except that you see He first loves you. So if the love of God is revealed by the way life's going, you'd never be rooted and grounded. Because love's always in question, and love's always yet to be seen. So we'll wait and see how things work out to decide if He loves us. That's twisted up. Now folks get in trouble with that, and they say, man, I thought God loved me. God, where are you? I thought you loved me. How come this? What's happened is they have moved away from being rooted and grounded, faith subverted, and they're just driven by need. The measuring stick of God loving you is Christ crucified. It's settled. Come on, some of this is so simple, it ought to just make us be like, duh. Why do we complicate it? It's that way that seems right to a man. It makes things complicated. Thinks a lot. It takes something like, don't eat the tree. The day you eat the tree is the day you surely die. Then the way that seems right, man, oh, you're not going to die. You know, God just knows that you eat the tree, your eyes will be open. You'll be just like Him. Come on. Has a reasoning side behind it that takes truth and puts a twist to it. Rooted and grounded in love. How can I be rooted and grounded in love? Because love's already revealed. Christ was crucified. Love you, Dan. You're a whole lot more than you've understood. I've known you from the beginning. His death's worth your life lived. I'm drawing you to me. How about coming? That's the gospel. Love you. What's the cross? What's Jesus saying? If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Why? It's not some mystical thing. It's not some magnetic spiritual power. It's the truth behind the cross. In all you're getting, get understanding. If this is just an Easter story, or if this is just something we should pay homage to, or wow, He paid a big price, I probably ought to give Him back something. It'll never happen. Your life will never flourish, prosper, and be productive. There's something you've got to see. There's something you've got to understand. You're worth it to Him. He loves you from the beginning. He made you with a destiny, a purpose, a potential. He paid the price to restore that. He paid the price to get the real you back here. Come on. He wants you to call everything before Him dead and gone. Put on the new man, renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who made him. It's Christianity. It's a restoration back to truth, back to the beginning, back to what it was in the first place. And Christ in you is now the hope of glory. You look at what glory means. Glory is any manifestation of the attributes of God is the glory of God revealed. Any seeing and making of God known is the glory of God, because He's full of glory and majesty. So any attribute of God that's manifested is the glory of God revealed. So the Christ in you is the hope of God being seen and known. The Christ in you is the hope of glory. What's that mean? The Christ in you is the hope of God being seen and known. Wow. We're not supposed to just talk about Him. We live Him. He becomes who we are. We make Him seen and known through our attitudes, our disposition, our mindsets, our mercy, our love. It doesn't make us weak. It makes us like Him, and He's not weak. Right? Yeah. So let's get rooted and grounded and make sure we're rooted and grounded tonight. Let's not be moved away from love, because faith worketh through love. If you don't see the love of God, you'll just be driven by need. All your prayers will come from a place of need and desperation. Self-centered, self-concerned, it's a trap. I'm telling you, it's a trap. Faith works through love. I said it last night, you get laid off, you don't fall apart. Why? You're in covenant. You don't let what you're going through become who you are. You let what He went through define you. It's settled. You live from that place toward life. And everything that comes at you gets swallowed up with that truth. You think for the kingdom first. You live for the kingdom. You live from the perspective of Him. When people do you wrong, you live from the perspective of Him. When you're not treated fair, you live from the perspective of Him. You recognize man's not your trouble, your word's not flesh and blood. Forgive them, Father, they don't know what they do, but you know, so start living Jesus in those times. Don't pick a fight, don't complain, don't gossip, don't backbite. Be like Him. He's the hope of glory. Getting the score settled isn't the answer. The Christ in you is the answer. He's the hope of glory. When all your coworkers know you should be a mess and you're not a mess, it messes with them. When they find out 5 months later what you were going through 5 months ago, it freaks them out when they know there was no way they could tell. Because everybody else is wearing very minor things on their sleeve. And all of a sudden they find out, they just somehow find out what you just walked through in your life and family, and they say, Freddie, I didn't know you went through. My goodness, we worked with you day in and day out. You never said nothing. We didn't even know. How's that possible? And Freddie just looks and smiles because they just ask him a question. He's not even trying to evangelize. They're coming to him. Woohoo! So he doesn't have to get out his Evangelism 101 book and try to say the right thing. Try to win a soul. No, he's so one, it's ridiculous. So he just shares his heart, and the reality of who he's become starts imparting into their hearts. So he's not passing knowledge, he's ministering his life. There's a difference. Big difference. Between talking about God and living Him. Don't get reduced to just sharing doctrine. Let the Word become flesh, and your life becomes one big impartation. Amen. Man, that's just good, solid preaching right there. I think I'm going to live that way. I think I'm going to listen to the preacher. I am. I think I'm going to take that. Listen, back to this thing. Get rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. You've got to settle this. I've got to settle this. We've got to settle this. He loves me. He's for me. He's not against me. He's not playing charades. He's given me the earth. He's given me scriptures and promises. He's given me the power of His name. He's given me armor to put on. The accomplished, finished work of Christ is the armor. If you break it down, you can do a cool children's church class and make all the stuff and put it on the kids. And then the children's churches are awesome for doing that. But we adults better get it too. The armor you wear is every day. You never take it off. It's the accomplished, finished work of Christ Jesus. You don't take it off to go to bed. You don't put it on in the morning. You put it on when you get saved and you stay suited and dressed the rest of your life. Right? And you're not on defense. You're on offense. You're taking ground. You've got the ball. Come on. It's just true. It's just true. It's neat little stories. You know, I had a children's church teacher when I pastored, you know, and they did that whole study thing out, man. And they had that whole armor thing from that day and that era and that culture laid out. And you guys know this. You've heard this. There was nothing on their backs. They were all armored from the front around and their backs were exposed. Why? Because they were running, going the other way was never an option. So they didn't need anything on their back because they're not turning it. And then you read in your Bible, He's your rear guard. He's your defense. Probably got your back. God's probably saying, go boy, got your back. Okay. So don't look back. Amen. Just fun thought. So you and I are going to be rooted and grounded in love. We're going to settle on the finished work of Christ and know that the finished work of Christ is the love of God revealed for me. Period. And I'm going to settle that. I'm going to exchange that with God in prayer. Father, you love me. I've learned that a lot of Christians don't talk to the Lord that way. They don't talk to the Lord intimately like that and say, wow, thank you for loving me. Thank you for making my life valuable. Nobody on the planet around, just you. So you're one of two things. You're either out of your mind, you need to get a life, or you're on to something and you're growing in Him. It's one or the other. I love those odds. I don't like all that muddy gray zone stuff. It's one of two things. You're either whacked and need to get a grip, or He's real. It's one of two. See, I'm either the most deceived man you ever met, or I'm free. All my chips are on free. We'll find out someday, but I got everything camping on the free spot. All my chips are shoved there. Free. You can say whatever you want. We'll find out someday, but I'm going to live in that place. You know what I'm going to settle? I'm loved by God. Period. You know, kids go through stuff. Your wife gets in trouble years ago. My mom died, I think, early. I see other people's mamas healed. All of a sudden, my mom dies. If you're not rooted and grounded, you buckle and jerk. I mean, I don't even slow down. I don't even know what it means to buckle and jerk. My life's not my own. I love less all these things that are dear to me so that I can rightly fulfill what He's created me for and called me to. I've said a long time ago, we already won. And we can't lose unless I get my eyes off of truth. And that's not going to happen. You can poke out my eyes and I still have a heart. Yep, sure do. See how you're going to beat that right there? And you pull out my heart, I'll be with Him. So, isn't that awesome? You just can't touch that kind of wisdom. God is awesome. He tells us to stay focused and fixed on this truth, right? So be rooted and grounded in love. Be rooted and grounded. There's a sower in Mark 4, and he's spreading seed. And there's all these different things and situations. Some falls on this ground. Preachers will say, well, it's the condition of the heart, and it's different soils. And I get all that. Not debating it. But there's one there that says things get choked out and then there's cares and the things of life. One says it's wayward. It's just by the wayside and the birds come and eat up what was sown. And there's one that says that it hears the word and it's exactly what it needed. And it goes, yeah, that's for me. Woo-hoo! Shoots up quick and gets pumped and excited. Goes running out of the church. Woo! Got me a word. And then the heat of the day comes. Means adversity, trials, pressure. And says what shot up and grew quickly withered just as quickly in the heat of the day. Why? Says it had no root. What happens? God, why are you letting this happen to me? God, I thought you loved me. God, where are you? And this self-centered, self-serving mentality creeps out of your mouth, which means it's in your heart. So it exposes your perspective. And you're singing, it's not about me, but when trial comes, your words reveal it is all about you. And now you got questions. God, why are you letting this happen to me? God, what did I do wrong? God, I thought you loved me. I've heard people say that over some small stuff. And I've surely heard them say it over some big physical, natural stuff. Come on. That's a place that's not for sale. That's a place that's not even up for discussion. I'm just going to talk plain and straight to you, okay? They give me the mic tonight. You know, he's turning me loose here. You can't live in faith if you don't get this truth I'm talking about settled and established in your heart. You can't live in faith without being rooted and grounded in love. Faith worketh through love. You follow me? You can't tally your circumstances, get analytical, run it through your mind over and over, and then question things that are already settled through the cross. Don't you let that happen to you, any of you. Because then you won't run well, and you're called to run well. You got to settle. He loves me. It was years ago, God, I was in a worship service. I was just like tonight. We're singing and worshiping. And that one song, so powerful, you guys sang there towards the end when you said, you went over there and we sang that last song. That was good. And because he came up from the grave, amen? And he established something when he did that. I look in the Word and realize he justified me. He made me righteous. Man, when he raised, I raised. When he came up from the dead, I came up from the dead. If one died, all died. Now I live because he lives. You know what I'm saying? So when we're singing that song, I'm like, yeah. Because there's things that I understand that are settled. Settled. Like, he loves me. Period. Settled. Like, freaks me out, settled. Serious. Look, when I talk like this, I believe this stuff. That's why I don't have people issues. People that have people issues don't understand what I'm saying. So they let other things matter more. And they're still being defined by the stuff instead of him. So life's telling them who they are instead of the one that gives life. And all of a sudden something else is your teacher, not the good teacher. And you say, yeah, but I'd be in a different place if it wasn't for this, brother. I wouldn't be here. How would you feel if you were in my shoes? See, if you were going through this. And all of a sudden we're making this, and this Lord, and it's governing our life. But then we sing, he's Lord. And now we're only as good as things are going and people are doing us. And the work's already finished and he already raised from the dead. Your identity's sealed and settled in him. So years ago in a worship service like we were having here, this intimate thing broke out and they started going into this intimate stuff, and then it escalated and shifted gears into more intimate stuff, and then it went into intimate stuff. And I'm thinking, they're sitting there singing, and it was sweet songs, man. And I'm like, oh, I love you. And I knelt down and then I stood up and it was just sweeping me away. And I was just, and all of a sudden the Lord just breathed over me. He just, and it had the impression in it, the presence of God. You were just talking about revitalizing stuff. But it had the impression in it, I really love you. I'm so pleased with you and so proud of you. God does that to you, you're toast. Like, you think you're going to die because it's too much. You can hardly handle it. It's one thing if somebody prophesies over you, says, for the Lord says he's pleased. And you know, you say, sometimes you're crying because you really wanted to believe that, but you weren't sure. But I'm telling you, when God personally comes and just goes, love you. Oops. So I'm supposed to preach. I'm mic'd up. I'm supposed to preach. This isn't even fair. Here comes breeze over me, and you can tell where the worship service was that it's not going to be long. I'm getting up there. You can tell. You know you're getting up there soon. We've been worshiping for a while. It's climactic. God's in the place. People are like, whoo. But we're going to transition. And I'm going to get to walk up there in a minute and just step into what God's doing. And all of a sudden, God breathes on me and says, hey, really love you. Really pleased with you. And I'm like, done. I'm down. It was ugly. All of a sudden, my mind kicked in. I'm grabbing Kleenex. I got stuff coming out everywhere. I mean, I'm thinking it's coming out my ears. It's coming out, man. And I'm like, all of a sudden, it hits me. I can't go here. I got to preach. So I tried to get up. I probably look like a punch-drunk fighter. I'm down. Jesus going. And I'm trying to stand up. So I stand up. He goes, love you. Serious, I'm not joking. Three times. Up, up, up. And we're slow learners sometimes. Finally it hit me. I bet you God knows I'm supposed to preach. They probably handed him a bulletin on the way in. He probably knows I'm scheduled to preach. And he's still. That's what hit me on the floor. I thought, Lord, whatever you're doing is overwhelmingly good. I don't know what you're trying to do at this time, but you know I have to preach. You know I'm supposed to. Whether I preach or not, whether I ever even get up from here or not, this is like better than good. Like, this thing I was experiencing was undescribable. How do you put it into words? It was beyond what I can tell you. It was so amazing. And he kept giving that connotation to his presence. Beyond his presence, I was, it's like I was hearing his voice saying, I love you. It was like I was getting that message through the experience. And that I'm stuff like, I'm proud of you. I woke up one morning, the Lord saying, laying on top of me, I woke up to the presence of God like a blanket. He said, I'm really proud of you. And I cried uncontrollably for a long period of time. Because it was so overwhelming. And the reason was, is because I was done really wrong, but I wasn't thinking about it being wrong. And it didn't change my heart. And I preached from a pure, clear place. And God said, I'm really proud of you. You didn't let what happened change who you are. He said, countless people have the authority of the pulpit, and they're using that authority to project their pains, hurts, unresolved conflicts, covering issues from the pulpit to get the strong amen, talking to the left side when they're really talking to the right. And he said, you didn't know how to do that because you didn't internalize what was wrong. You didn't internalize what happened. You stayed pure before me. I'm so proud of you. And I'm laying there, I didn't even think I was going to be able to function. It was so overwhelming. When God just comes and says, proud of you. Toast. I was toast. On this day, I'm laying there, and I said, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but go ahead and do whatever you want to do. I'm not trying to get up again. I'm going to enjoy this, whether I preach or not. Thanks for loving me. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm not trying to exaggerate the story to make it funny. Whatever amount of Kleenexes were in that box I was clinging to, they were gone. And I had a pile of them on the floor. So some lady realized he ain't getting back up. And I saw this lady's hand lift up my arm and slide a fresh box under there. Just courteous. Because it didn't look like I was going anywhere soon. So she just put a whole fresh box under my arm and said, there you go. It's bad, man. Just think if I was one of you women. Just think of the mascara and the situation I'd have been in. It was so bad. So I'm laying there and the Lord says, Dan, do you know why you live the way you do? Now I knew what he meant. You might not have understood the question because you're not me, but when he talks to you in a way that you know what he's saying. He's not playing a riddle with you. I knew what he meant. He meant the consistency. Never change. I don't have up and downs. I don't wake up and try to be okay. I don't try to pray my way through. I don't even know what that language means. I hear it all the time around me. But I don't get that language. I don't know what that means. Brother, you're in denial. No, I'm not. Come on, don't compare my circumstance to yours and your go through with mine. Don't let your experience be the standard. We're following Jesus. I don't think Jesus woke up and tried to build himself up. I think Jesus probably knew who he was every day. He was probably okay. Probably still doing all right if you'd ask him. He said, do you know why you live the way you do? I answered like you would have, Pastor. I said, because your grace is sufficient. You're amazing. You're so faithful. You're merciful. You're kind. He really taught me something that day. He said, no, Dan, that's not the answer I'm looking for. And then I said, it's the only answer. Now you got me wondering what voice I'm hearing, God, because that's the only answer. You are what you are by the grace of God. No man can boast. Whatever you have, it's given. The reason I live this way, there's a grace. He said, Dan, I'm everything you said, but it needs a place to land. It needs a place to land. It's one thing for me to say God loves you. It's another thing for you to be loved by God. It's another thing to come to you and say, you know, God's merciful, honey. He's way bigger than your past experiences, and he can just sweep it away. He is so merciful. Every time I talk to somebody like that that has something they're trying to walk through, I'm always right. But it's another thing for this young lady to receive his mercy and become a product of it. It's one thing to say, hey, man, God loves you. It's another thing, you be all alone, being loved by him. Whole nother realm. Come on. One's a positional truth. One's a theology, a doctrine that we embrace through Scripture. The other one's your relationship. And that's what you're called to. You're not called to serve a doctrine. You're called to know him. He said, do you know why you live the way you do? I said, because you're amazing. He said, that ain't why. And I'm like, it has to be why, because that's the only reason I am the way I am, because of your grace, God. He said, no, Dan, it needs a place to land. He said, let me tell you why you live the way you do. And I'm listening carefully, laying there. I'm not crying anymore. I'm just shook up. It was an incredible situation. Went through a lot of Kleenexes too. He said, on the night, he said, the reason you live the way you do is because on the, and he's talking about consistency, waking up the same every day. Never to my knowledge trying to be okay, no matter what, for 20 years. Just not trying to be okay, not needing prayer to be built up, just build up in the face of it all. I'm serious, that's how I've lived for 20 years. You don't even have to believe me, time will tell one day that I was telling the truth. He said, on the day you got saved, you were only sin conscious for a moment in time. And you saw your desperate need for me. And ever since that moment, you've been a son in your heart. And you've never changed your mind. And that's why you live the way you do every day. And what he was telling me is my perspective of how he sees me as a son through his son is what opens my life up to be a landing strip for his mercy, grace, empowerment, righteousness, and wisdom. And I don't know how to not be accepted. I don't know how to be condemned. It's not in my thinking. I don't know how to be ashamed. I don't know how to be sin conscious. It's not part of the kingdom. Because of that, I'm not focused on sin. And because of that, sin's not overrunning me. My eyes aren't on sin. My eyes are on Him. So righteousness is my reward. Holiness is your fruit without you trying to be holy. But the church thinks you're sinning while you're breathing. At large, the church says when they hear me talking like this, yeah, but Dan, what are you saying? You're perfect? Nobody's perfect. That's not even what I'm saying. I'm saying His grace is greater. I'm not even talking about perfection. I'm talking about holiness, righteousness, purity. I'm talking about your heart being sincere and changed by the love of God. Now, why don't we even let that take place? Why do we talk ourselves out of it through our own frail experiences? And why do we make it about perfection? What are you saying? You don't sin? Are you perfect? I'm not even saying that. I'm saying grace can empower me to have an experience beyond what I've ever experienced. Grace can make me what I've never been on my own. And don't you tell me I'm sin waiting to happen. I'm a son in the making. I'm not failure waiting to happen. I'm a son manifesting. That's where my eye is. And Jesus told me in a dramatic experience that that's why I live the way I live, because I won't let anything change my mind, what He's accomplished and how He sees me. And I see myself that way and receive the full measure of grace. And watch this, Romans 5:17. If you receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, or the free gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace, you will reign in this life as a king. And honestly, I'm not trying to sound weird and arrogant. I have felt like a king for 20 years. I have cried in the car without being arrogant and judgmental in comparison and high-minded. I've cried and said, God, I hope everybody's experiencing what I'm experiencing. I wish everybody that ever went to church and even considered you would know what my heart's knowing right now. I have felt that way for 20 years. And He gives me a platform to talk about it. I mean, I'm on a back road, I tell it all the time, passing by a single mama in the church who got delivered from heroin, prostitution, and hepatitis C. Liver transplantless, dying. And Jesus said, hey, that hepatitis shouldn't be there. Old things are passed away. All things are new. She's not a heroin addict. She's not a prostitute. She's a new creation. So guess what He does? Takes the hepatitis out of her body and fixes her liver, and she never has a transplant. She's just okay. Oops. I can introduce you to her. She has 3 children. She was dying on a transplant list because of her lifestyle. Wonder if her life became new. Wonder if she got born again. And wonder if the old person died and the hepatitis died with her. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, creature. Old things have. Behold. Why is it hard for us to believe these things when they should be automatic? You're just too late for me. I've seen too much. But I haven't seen enough. But I've seen too much to get in a debate with you through a lack of experience. And I didn't mean that rude. Because I've noticed the people that argue have no experience, and they're letting their no experience be their defense. So what do you do with me now? Put me on a cross? Call me a heretic? Call me the devil? See, here's the thing. When you don't understand what I'm preaching, you have two options. You call me the devil or a liar. It's the only options you have. Oops. If you do that, you better be right. Because you've crossed a major line you've never been granted to judge me and presume upon me without really knowing. And you put yourself in the seat of God, and the measure you judge is the measure you're judged. I'm not talking about judgment someday. It determines how you're going to walk out your life, the position of your heart, the grace you'll receive, your demeanor. When you see a man in presumption, you will never live in productivity. Micah looked at her own husband David dancing and got indignant towards him and was barren for the rest of her life. Who does he think he is? Look at him, just drawing attention. Just a need to have an opinion is not a healthy thing. Paul said, don't you be wise in your own opinion. I don't know why I'm talking that straight and bold right now, but I hope somebody's listening. I've had folks, they want to debate through their lack of experience. I'm on that back road. That mama passes by me with her little kids. Her life's restored. You know where them little kids came from? Social services in another state. Unprecedented, never in the history of the state. The state released, any of you that know anything about this knows this is a ridiculous big deal. The state released her kids to her, and she's in another state. Unheard of. But God said, do it, and they didn't even know why. They just said, yes, sir. Because the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. The word king means anyone in authority. The one in authority is in the hand of the Lord, and like a mighty river, he'll turn it where he wishes. Now, here's what happens. God looks at a woman that's made more mistakes than some of us combined. She's in a jam. She's dying. Hepatitis, separated from her kids. Heroin, prostitution, street life, lost. God looks at her and says, wow, I look into her heart. There's true repentance. She's not that woman anymore. I can't even see that woman. I see who I've always seen from the beginning. She gets born again. God's Spirit comes into her. He sees her repentance and heart cry. He knows if she could go back and do different, she would, but she can't. Regret would eat her alive. It's the world's way of thinking. Regret produces death. But godly sorrow brings to change, vindication, clearing of yourself. Wow. I'm going to get her kids back because she's finally ready to the mother. I'm going to take hepatitis out of her because she needs to live long life. I'm going to be her God. She's going to be my girl. Kids. Boom. It's just too powerful. Just too amazingly powerful. So there's this guy that deserves two life sentences. He's sitting in the courtroom. The judge says it's against my better judgment. What was happening? God messing him all up. It's not the way to get reelected. The judge. It's against my better judgment, but for some reason I'm going to release him into this program and monitor his production and see how he does. Two life sentences. Go in the program and see how it works out. What happened? Heart of the king's in the hand of the Lord. Words coming out of his mouth he couldn't even put understanding to. I bet he's God. They passed me on a back road. It's a little shortcut around the city so you don't have to go through the lights and the block after block of stop, go, just a little loop around the city. I'm on the back road. She's on the back road. She's coming this way. I'm coming this way. She told me later about the story. She said her kids said, she said, hey, we passed you on the back road. You had no clue we were on the planet. I said, I'm sorry. I wasn't ignoring you. She said, oh, I know you weren't. I said, what happened? I said, was I with somebody? She said, well, you were with somebody, but there was nobody in the car. I said, what? She said, my kids said, look, here comes Pastor Dan. And I looked and I said, oh, it is him. And she said, they jumped up at the window and they're doing their little. And she said, you went right on by us. You were laughing, talking, hand was going. And ain't nobody in the truck. I said, yep, happens all the time. It's just not my fault because he was there in the truck. The van got quiet. Mama drove about a quarter mile. She said it was total silence. Some kids went because they caught me in fellowship with Jesus.
They caught me and my best friend taking a ride.
Yeah? See, I don't have a theology and a doctrine. I have a father and a friend. And he's privileged me to know him. He's opened the door for me to know him. And to know him is to be changed by him and become more like him. To know about him won't change a thing. But to know him is the transformation of my life. She said, we went a quarter mile down the road, and I said, well, kids, I guess we saw firsthand why he is the way he is. And she said, you know what the truth is, kids? We can all have with the Lord what we just saw him having. Let's be convicted today and let's see to it that we enter into that place we just saw. Because it's there and it's real. And we can have it. Boy, I could give that to you tonight. We could just go home. I'm serious. Are you going to get caught up and serve doctrine and let ministry take the place of knowing him? You're going to let church attendance take the place of knowing him? And all of a sudden your life's not really changed, but you have so much teaching, you're under conviction, and next thing you know, you're condemned because you think I should be more than where I'm at because I've been in this for so long. Just life without relationship with him is confusing and blah. So good. So good, so you got to get rooted, and you got to get grounded in love, because when you're rooted and grounded in love, you're not afraid to have intimacy with the Lord. You're not afraid to be alone with him. You won't get self-conscious. You won't feel dirty. You won't feel like you have to get past yourself to get to him. He already did that for you. See, yeah, but I just did something really boneheaded and bad. That's why you should run to him. Look at Adam and Eve. The fig leaf thing didn't. That wasn't cool. That's not where it's at. Covering your own sin, getting in denial, and hiding from his presence isn't the answer. We should have learned that. So you probably ought to let him robe you in righteousness and run to him and father you. Yeah. Come on. Yeah, but I feel so bad when I mess up. Well, that's a good sign. Your heart cares. Stop letting your feel bad condemn you. Run to God and let him know that you realize through the truth he's put in your life that that is not what you're created for. That's not your heart desire. And even though it was your function, you're thanking him for grace that's greater and that he's changing you from within. And God, you're doing a good work in me. There was a time in my life I didn't even think about that. Now I know it's not who I am in you and who you are in me. God, you're making me wiser. You're making me sharper. Thank you for washing me. Thank you for purifying my heart. Thank you for causing me to be alive inside. You say you talk like that and pray like that. If you make a mistake, what would you do? Lose your identity for 3 days? Cry yourself to sleep? Call 3 friends and go over it again and again and again and get prayer for it 4 or 5 times? You run to him. Father, thank you for loving me. The reason we have a hard time doing that is because we weren't loved when people knew what we did wrong. But while you were yet sinner, he sent his son. So don't compare him to people. He's God, and you find him through his son, not your life's experiences. Well, I just have a hard time going to God because everybody always beat me up growing up. You're not growing up. You're 35, and he's the Lord. Go to him. Well, yeah, but stop! Turn off the psychological button, open up your heart and go to him. I'm not being mean and irrational right now. I'm helping you. Get past all the yell, buts, and well ifs. Live by faith and run to Him because He loves you. He proved it. While you were yet a sinner, He said, go and save him. When you had no clue, He knew. We ought to learn from that and say, wow, you do love me. And on your biggest stumbling moment, you ought to be running to Him for wisdom, understanding, for the washing of His blood. Not to empower you to stay the same, to help you to change. How'd it work when you ever bit your lip in the past and tried to change? Probably got judged more, condemned more, and were more aware of what was wrong, and you put yourself on your own judgment scale, right? People that try to change themselves aren't doing good towards themselves. They always feel like they're failing. They never feel like they're living good enough. It's not a New Year's resolution. You're not setting yourself up to fail. You're not listening to a man preach on love and then walking out of here and trying to go love like God loves. Because every time you feel angry, you'll feel like you're missing it. Every time you snap on somebody or short-tempered, you say, well, boy, I sure ain't getting it. I sat under 15 love messages and love ain't happening in my life. I guess something's wrong with me. Maybe I'm not as close to God as I think. And next thing you know, all these condemning lies and thoughts are being agreed with because of rationale in the way that seems right and death's being produced. Next thing you know, you're not even having intimacy because you have no good view of you, so you sure can't see how He sees you. Right. You know what else? You can't even have a good view of others because you love your neighbor as yourself. Right. When your eyes are cloudy towards you, you don't get a good look at your neighbor. In fact, you end up fault-finding and nitpicking with them because it makes you feel better. You're not the only egg in the basket. At least somebody else has issues too. Hello? It's where fault-finding comes from a lot. People that aren't receiving the love of God. They got their own issues, so they make issues with everybody. They love their neighbor as they're loving themselves. And the way they see themselves is the way they see others. It's just true. You get a good look at how God sees you, it'll open your eyes towards everybody. Like, see, through the relationship I have with Jesus, I have an amazing view of you. It's the only reason I drove to Buffalo. If I saw you any different, I wouldn't have wasted the gas for you. I'd have just let Paul preach. I'm being real. Just stay home. So why would you drive down here? Because we're family. Because I believe what I'm preaching and I believe you have a destiny. And even though I'm going to get in my car and drive back home tomorrow, I might not even see some of you ever again in my life. I had the great honor of plowing a little ground, sowing some seed, throwing some water out there and trusting God for increase. Wonder if the trip is worth that. Wonder if your destiny is worth that. Wonder if there's a such thing as sincerity and that really can be my pure motive. Oh, that's so good. Isn't that awesome? We're talking like that, not even handing out the baskets for the offerings. And we're talking like that. See, sometimes you talk like that and then hand out the baskets. That's just messed up. It's like you're traveling to church out there. It must be like a contract. It must be business. People ask what I need. Do you need to sign anything? Do you want to send us what your expectations are? I'm like, what? And now the word's out. People know who I am and how I am now. It's just funny how word travels. People that never even met me or know me, they say, oh, well, we hear this and we hear that. I say, well, you heard right. Good. But run what you hear by me just so we can make sure it's clear. Offerings? Are you kidding me? You go to a church for an offering, you go to church for the kingdom. You go to a church because there's people there that are called and have destinies. If this ever becomes a career, somebody cut off my head and quit the torture and suffering, because that's a bad place. If your calling becomes your career, you're going to muddy up your calling.
That's good.
If your ministry becomes your way of living, and all of a sudden it's about money and making ends meet and paying bills, get out of ministry immediately. Because you'll mishandle the grace of God on your life and calling, and you'll touch people wrong, and you'll do things for wrong reasons. The day you owe me anything is the day I've stepped out of love. Because I owe you nothing but to give myself to you like He did for me. And now you owe me nothing in return. You guys all right? Just because folks muddied this up along the way doesn't mean there's not a beautiful truth there for you to live. See, don't let what people muddied up harden your heart. You know how many people I've sat beside on planes that don't go to church anymore because of church and because of people? Some of them are just making up excuses, but some of them had some legitimate, tough experiences at church. But they've allowed that to define God, so they're robbed of a relationship with Him because they're measuring Him through folks. What a tragic lie. Do you see how important it is for you to rightly represent Him? Because if people can be weak, they'll be weak. You're not called to draw the weakness out in them. You're called to draw the strength out in them. You're not called to facilitate their weakness. You're called to swallow that thing up with strength. You're called to be an example and a living epistle and be written on the hearts of men, not add fuel to their lie and fire. Right? Come on. You have no idea how many people have sat beside me and I get talking to them and ask them how their relationship's going with the Lord. And man, are you connected anywhere? Do you go to church at all? And it's almost like curse words to them. Connected anywhere. I don't go to church. Are you kidding me? Church is a big farce, man. All they want is your money. I'm supposed to go and give my money to just help somebody's ship run? I ain't part of the church. I'm like, really? Man, you had some bad experiences. You got no idea, man. And then they start telling you the good or the bad and the ugly because there ain't no good. And then you say, well, let me ask you, because, man, I'm really concerned about your heart. When you're talking like this, man, it's like it's fuming out of you. Where's your relationship with Jesus? Do you have intimacy with the Lord? Do you know Him? Or have you allowed this pain to rob you of your relationship with Jesus? I have seen countless people cry when I talk about that one. Countless people cry. I'm serious. Cry. On a plane. Because they're being deceived and they know it. They've let their heart get hard and they can't pursue Him with a hard heart. And they're convicted constantly. But they're not dealing with it. They're not settling it. And time's going by. And they sit beside a fellow like me that talks about it straight and open. And they go, I mean, ugly cries on the plane. Like flight attendant wanting to move their seat because I'm bothering them in her eyes. Had one lady hook my arm and hug me and lay her head on my shoulder and say, he's not bothering me, he's helping me. I said, whew. She said, ma'am, I am moving your seat. And she's glaring at me. I'm getting you to another seat. She hooked my arm and laid her head on me like my sister. After the third profuse, so fun. I love it. Because I'm not trying to blow up the plane and cause a scene and draw a crowd. I'm just loving one person and they're manifesting. And then other people get touched by that. Had a guy in front of me on the same page of his book for 10 to 15 minutes. He's sitting there with a book open and I'm looking through the seats as I'm talking to the person and I realize he's on the same page for 10 to 15 minutes. The guy ain't reading. I was thinking, like, man, you either read slower. That's a good page. He wasn't reading. I'm not keeping track. I'm not keeping a record, but I do have some stats on some of this stuff, like my high number of getting off a plane being asked by people for prayer was 4 in the jetway because of the conversation and the people around me trembling. Excuse me, you're a man of God. Yeah, it's really not my fault. But I said, what's up? Well, I overheard you talking and my heart was just not. You want prayer? Please. Right in the jetway. That's evangelism. Your life. I didn't say a word to nobody. I'm just talking to the person beside me, and they're listening. It's their fault. They're eavesdropping. I come off a plane in Lexington, Kentucky, and a lady that couldn't walk downstairs for 20 years, afraid of surgery, so she stayed bone on bone. Two people holding her. Oh, 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 And her kids are devastated. Mom, just get the surgery. I don't want surgery. I'm afraid of anesthesia. I'm afraid of it. Don't want surgery. I'm sitting beside her telling her a story about a lady in Denver that got totally restored, that was straight bone on bone, and she's just staring at me, listening, and I could have told her a ton of testimonies. And I'm telling her this one. And then all of a sudden I looked and it hit me and I said, you're the lady. Same situation. She said, when you started telling me that, my heart started pumping. I thought, this man doesn't know, but my knees are the same, maybe worse. She said, sir, if I just turn my ankle right now, it'll make me wince. If I just turn my ankle and put pressure on my ankle, it'll put pressure up here. She said, I'll wince. It grabs, it hurts. I've lived this way for years. I'm afraid of surgery. I said, oh, honey, give me your hand. We prayed right on the plane. She's freaking out. We're coming into Lexington. She's saying, I'm healed. I mean, I said, well, honey, I want you to get up and walk. I want you to test it. I don't have to test it. I've lived with these knees for 20 years. I'm turning my ankle. I'm putting all kind of pressure. There's nothing wrong. I said, well, I still want you to walk. And I was, I'm healed. She's like freaking out. And I'm like, wow. I mean, she's excited. I've seen so many fun things on little cramped airplanes. I had a lady have a tumor on her body disappear beside me on the plane. Now, how do you stay calm? You can watch that on TV and sit and criticize, Mark, when they're actors, they set that up, that's trick photography. But you're sitting on a plane, and it's your wrist, and that thing's ready to be surgically removed because it's pressing on a nerve, and you got pain all through your arm and fingers, and all of a sudden that thing's gone, and all the fibromyalgia down the back of your neck and shoulders is gone. What do you do with that? What do you do with your three kids when they come to pick you up at the airport and they're concerned and they're the one that pushed and scheduled the surgery because mom don't want to do nothing about it. She's in denial and don't want to face nothing. And they're like, mom, and they pushed the button on her. And she said, my kids are making me get this removed. In 2 weeks, I got a surgery scheduled. And so I'm going to visit with them and then head back and they're going to cut that thing out.
Whoops, already got cut out.
So now what's her three kids going to do when she comes off the plane and meets them at the baggage claim? She says, kids, you ain't going to believe this, but I met this man. She's going to say, I met this man. He told me about Jesus and he prayed for me and he was so loving and so nice. And when he talked, my heart just felt warm. And I, kids, all I can tell you is when he was done praying, I have no fibromyalgia. And look, what's your three kids going to do? There's no way around it. Well, maybe it just disappeared, Mom. That lady came off the plane in Lexington. She's like a little kid. She's a little older than me, a couple years older than me. I'm walking out of the plane, she's tapping me like a little kid. My knees are healed. I said, good. I believe you, honey. I'm heading out. It's a little tight little puddle jumper. We're going down the stairs, fold out of the plane. Poof, straight down, man. I'm talking. And when we got to the steps, people know something's going on. Not everybody knows what, but everybody knows something's going on. This lady's emotional. And she's dramatic. And I'm trying to, you know, not overtake the plane. I'm thinking, if the plane gets overtaken, let's let Jesus do that. And I said, honey, what would have been like going down these steps? She said, oh, it would have been ugly. Terrible. I'd have waited till last. I'd have had to get the flight attendants above me, below me, and put pressure and assure that I wasn't falling. And I'd have did 2 feet. 2 feet, 2 feet, 2 feet. It would took me a while. On these steps, I said, well, here's what I want you to do. It was such a setup because it's a puddle jumper. Everybody has check bag, gate check. They couldn't put their bags on that little plane. There's no overhead space. They're all waiting for, we have a congregation. It's perfect. That sure beats being caught up with where you were sitting, too close to the Jiffy John, flight's a little tight, wish I didn't have such a long layover, yada-da-da-da-da-da-da. Ooh. Sure beats all that stuff, huh? Life's a gift. Don't complain it away. Don't heap it all on yourself and your own preferences. Step out and love somebody and watch Jesus show up. I'm not being smart. Don't get quiet on me. I feel a little quiet on me there. Was he being sarcastic? No, I'm challenging you. Get complaining a million miles away from your life. You got nothing to complain about. Christ has been crucified. He said, yeah, but my mother died. Yeah, so did mine. Yeah, but I was touched wrong when I was little. Yeah, so was I. Yeah, but my dad never loved me. Yeah, neither did mine. You want to keep going? Why do you challenge the gospel with your life? Why don't you let the gospel give you a new one? Oh, man. Duh! It's just duh! Come on! Should have been there. It was so fun. I said, I'm going to run down. I want you to come down just like I go down, but wait till I'm down. I want to watch. Everybody's waiting for the gate check bag, listening. So I go, toon, 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 and I turn around, and this lady goes, oh, it was so priceless. She goes, so ridiculous, you have no idea. She made it down two steps, was going to the third one, out of control, the loudest, ugliest cry you've ever seen in public. And I'm laughing and I'm going, oh, thank you, Lord. She comes right to me and she just lays on me. And she's hugging me. And the way we ended up, I'm facing all the people and they're going. And I said, she's had degenerated knees. 20 years afraid of surgery, sitting on the plane, we just got talking. I just prayed with her in the name of Jesus. He fixed her knees right on that flight. You saw her come. Didn't do it for 20. Fixed her knees, guys, right on the plane. She, there's no way they can get out of it. It's too real. It's too right in your face. It's too powerful. So our bags come. I get my bag. I go to hug her. She said, I don't know how to thank you. I said, you thank Jesus. He made it possible. I yielded to him a long time ago. He lives in me. Yay, you yield to him too. Now I'm talking open. Everybody's listening. We got everybody's attention. I turn. I get from me to you, Bill. Excuse me, sir. Yes. Would you please pray for me? Sure. Fire! No, I didn't do that. I might have been tempted. Oh, sure, honey. Every fire of God. Ah! Then everybody's running up the jetway. No. No, I just gently, just, Father, thank you. You get into the mouth of the jetway. Excuse me, sir. Yeah. Please pray for me. You get halfway up the jetway. Get to the top of the jetway. You got four people. Can you please pray for me before you can get even out of the jetway? That sure beats complaining about something. That sure beats just being in a hurry and just wanting to get home. It's priceless. It's fun. If you don't step out and put yourself in that position, you'll never even know it's possible. If you don't step out, if you don't stretch out your hand, if you don't open your mouth, if you don't step through all those feelings that are telling you no, you'll never be able to tell what I just told. If you don't put yourself in the position for God to come. I just say, well, listen, let's just pray. You got nothing to lose. Let's just believe God. Look, if nothing happens, you already had nothing anyway. But I'm not believing nothing will happen. I'm believing His love will come. I'm believing His goodness will come. Would you please let me pray? Listen, I haven't stepped out and done this much, but it's been in my heart a long time. To just start loving people with what I believe and what I'm convicted of. Would you mind if I pray for you? You'd be amazed how many will say, okay.
Yeah.
I'm in an airport. This lady literally gets out of a wheelchair who's frozen. In the Jackson, Mississippi airport. Frozen. The Lord told me her condition. I went over, knelt down, had a Christian t-shirt on. She read my shirt and she said, oh, nice. She wasn't real impressed with my shirt. I'll tell you what she was impressed with. I said, well, He's my king. And He's my friend. And He happens to love you, honey. And when I passed you, I didn't have a lot of time. I got to get down and get on this plane. But I said, Lord, there's a million reasons, 100 reasons why she could be in a wheelchair. But why is she? Could you tell me? Would you show me? He told me, He gave me a vein of arthritis and told me that it froze her body, made her like the Tin Man on the Wizard of Oz. And I thought, well, he wants to oil her. So I run over and I just slid right in there. I said, hi, honey. She's in a wheelchair. Hi, honey, how are you? She said, oh, I'm fine. I said, look at my shirt. She said, oh, okay. I said, well, honey, listen. He's more than a shirt, an advertisement. He's my king and he's my friend. I said, and sometimes I get to really hear his voice. And I ask him why you were in that chair, because there's a lot of reasons you could be in that chair. And this is what I believe he told me. You tell me if I was right. I told her and she went, you're right. I said, I thought so. He knows you and he loves you. And I bet he didn't just tell me that to answer my question or give me info. I bet he wants to change that. Really? Give me your hand, let's see. Right in the airport. People are papers. People are wigged out, like time and place for everything, brother or buddy. Yeah, now. Right now. It's on. Jesus is Lord. He's in me. It's just too late. You ain't going to get religious on me. I had so much fun on that trip. See, I was wired. I really was wired. So I had a little extra momentum. Because I just came from nights of services where the people were so off the hook. At midnight, they're all dancing. Because a lady had so much metal in her body and scoliosis. And she looked like she was so aged. And when she turned around and you looked at her, she's 30. She came in crying and said, can you please help me? Because you know there ain't nothing you can do to change her. But you're going to do your best to believe his love for her no matter what. And you look at her and say, we'll do our best, honey. We'll call on his great name. And you watch Jesus change her body. I was in a service, a lady was so twisted up, she grew 4 inches. 4 inches. Her husband looked at her and started bawling because she was her normal height before the ailment. 4 inches. You hear stuff popping and cracking and you see her growing. You talk about hair standing up. You're like, you say, look at him strutting. You're right, Jesus is Lord. He ain't strutting because we're somebody. That lady, it was just like the Tin Man. She gets up. She's sitting in her wheelchair. She goes, she's frozen. She goes, oh my. 82 years old. Let's stop selling them off with aging. You show me scripture that says after a certain age, the finished work doesn't cover your situations. You show me that. We bought into a lie. We've studied a fallen man and we've bought into the resume. He gave us new life. Let's go with Jesus. Let's get a better covenant. Let's stop being vulnerable in the world we live in and let's start subduing and not be subdued. Vulnerability is fear. Come on. We sing he's the air we breathe and then we're afraid of the air we breathe. Get a better covenant. It's the joke phrase we have back home because we know we're not being smart with each other. But when somebody and a friend or my family says something and it has weakness in it or it's just susceptible, the funny thing, we just say, man, you just need a better covenant, man. And we can talk that way to each other because we're not hurting each other. We're not being smart. But it sounds smart, like, dude. Like my boy will just be sitting playing a game and he'll say, man, can you give me some Kleenex? My nose is just stuffed all day. And I'm like, dude, you need a covenant. He's like, oh, Dad. And it's convicting to him because he's just accepting some of this stuff thinking it's everybody's everyday normal day. You all right? This lady, I didn't say a word. I just sat there and watched. Papers are... people. It's amazing how weird people get when you talk about Jesus in public, how they get weird. You say, brother, you're weird. I'm pretty gone. Pray. She gets up. She does her little footy things on the wheelchair. I didn't tell her to. She gets up. I said, honey, have you been able to walk? She said, I couldn't walk on my own. She said, I've been so stiff. She said, look at me, sir. Look at me. She's doing this. She stands up. I said, you haven't been able to walk? Not on my own. It was so stiff, I'd need somebody to hold my arm. She just went like that. By herself. She didn't ask for help. She didn't say, stand near me. She's the Tin Man getting oiled. That's all I was thinking about, that Wizard of Oz movie. I said, geez, the Holy Ghost just... You ever see the movie? And there she goes across the floor. She's just walking. She didn't even look like that. She just walked across the floor and she was doing this, 82 years old. Just kept sighing like that with this crazy good expression. I'll bring you out from behind your newspaper. Watch. If you're an onlooker, what are you going to do with that? I mean, the worst you could do is, I bet they're friends and they're putting on an act try to get some of us saved. I mean, because unbelief is a wicked thing. It'll come up with some weird stuff. But that's really the only thing you could possibly try to say, and you won't even believe that if you were saying it. Because you're there. It's just too powerful when it's happening. She comes back, and I said, honey, this is awesome. You feel changed. She said, I'm so changed. Do you have any pain? She said, well, there's just some tenderness when I step. I said, put your hand wherever it is. This is exactly how it happened. Wide open public, right at the gate. Right at the service desk, right at the seats, right there. Father, I thank you for making a brand new woman, making her whole again, paying you, leave her and never come back. In Jesus' name. She took a couple steps. She took two steps and went, oh. She's the sweetest thing. So I hugged her. I said, Mildred, honey, 82, that name was around at that age group, Mildred. I had grandparents, Mildred, family and people in our family, Mildred. You don't hear it anymore. It was from that era. She says, thank you. I hug her. Jesus, da-da-da, we're talking. I said, listen, honey, I got to get up there and get bored, and I know we're ready to board. I said, I need to stop. I want to grab a thing of water quick. And I said, man, thanks for letting me pray with you. Thanks for not saying no. You tell them that. You say, thanks for letting me in and not saying no. I was in a restaurant with Todd, and he prayed for this lady that come in on a walker. Third back surgery, failed. Third one. Once they want to do a fourth one to try to get it right. Her friends just want to get her out and be with her and get her out. And they're all there. They're elderly. They're all there. It's all she can do to get to that table. And they're all supporting her and talking. And they just want to be girlfriends and laugh. And Todd, he just right over there. He's talking. We can't hear. We just left him alone. We didn't want to overwhelm the table. He's fine on his own with the Lord. Believe me. He's just there. Next thing you know, they're bawling. She's standing. He runs over. Says, come to me, honey. No walker. Right in the middle of Chili's or wherever it was. All her friends. Waitresses panicking. Don't even know what to do. What's going on? It's okay. Jesus is healing her. They run into the kitchen. I'm not joking. Cook's heads are one after the other. I'm serious. Completely healed. Here's what Todd does. He's standing there. She's walking right at him. He bursts out bawling. Thank you for letting me pray for you. Thank you for not saying no. They're standing there bawling, hugging each other in the middle of the restaurant. This dude's sitting over there on the side with his girl and two kids. Big dude. Like his arms look like my legs stuck to shoulders. Big dude. Like tree trunks. Covered with tattoos. Just saying that because that to the older generation is intimidating. To the newer generation is just cool. But the older generation, sometimes that's intimidating. There's a visual that's like, ooh, don't mess with that dude. He's bad.
when this guy's got arms big as my legs, covered with paint, man. He's sitting there. Todd sits down. They all get up to leave. Her girlfriend's so funny. She's carrying a walker. It's this big love fest right in the restaurant. We get up to leave, and the guy goes,
"Hey. Hey, you."
Todd goes,
"Yeah. Come here."
Todd said, "Hey, I got to go talk to this guy, man." Said, "Go get him. Go talk, man." He sits down. The guy says, "Hey, man. That was for real. You know God. How can I know God like you know God? Because that was real. How can that be possible, what I just saw, man?" And he just started asking him questions. And Todd's pretty good at answers. Isn't that awesome? So I go get my water, right? It's classic. I go get my water, paying for my stuff. See, it wasn't fair to the airport because I just came from all these meetings. I saw a pastor that had a congenital from birth hip disorder and never bent over past his kneecaps. His whole life, he was 40. And then he had six vertebrae fused at three different places. Two, two, and two. You get what I'm saying? He didn't have six vertebrae. They were two, two, and two. He said they were paired where they were messed up and rubbed. They fused them, so now he's cement. He's a board. We're standing, chatting, talking. This lady's totally healed the night before. It's like she's dancing like David danced and couldn't even walk a minute ago. It was just off the hook. Amazingly fun. This guy is there, and we're telling the story, and we're talking, and all of a sudden he says, "Wow," he said, "that's something. I know what it's like, man, because I've never touched my toes." I said, "You never touched your toes?" "Oh, my goodness, no. I was born with this." His wife's standing right there. He's a black gentleman, and he's a pastor. He's telling us a story, and he said, "Then I got these three fusions." That sealed the deal, man. 5 years ago, I got three fusions. He said, "I'm like a board." He said, "I have no flexibility." And I'm like, "Guys, we'll pray." I didn't get involved. I don't want nobody to say it's me. They're ready to pray. I let them pray. It's safe. Go pray. Same Jesus. Them two guys, they're full of faith. They watched that lady the night before. They were dancing at midnight. They are so ready to lay hands on him. They prayed. They said, "Touch your toes, Pastor." He just told them he's never touched his toes in his life. "Touch your toes, Pastor." He looks at him. I've seen this before. Like, puzzled, like, "I just told you I can't even bend. Come on, Pastor, just start bending and touch your toes." His wife, precious black lady, little Pentecostal probably. Serious? Never touched. So I'm over getting my water. See, when I first came through security, I come through security, and they have that little roped off area for TSA for special cases. People that got metal implants, people that they got to really check them out. They got that little special area. It's roped off. It's forbidden. I go by, I look over there, I go, out loud, guy in a body cast. With his neck stretched like a giraffe in a body cast. And you can tell he's in pain. They're scanning him, making sure everything's cool and he isn't some guy trying to slide through with a body cast and armed with a machine gun or something. I don't know. They're checking him out, man. They're going in under and they're feeling and he's just standing there. And I went, I said, "Sir." They said, "TSA, yelling, get back. It's forbidden. You can't come in." I said, "Guys, I'm not violating. I'm not coming across the rope, man." "No, listen, you don't understand. You don't understand." I said, "Sir," tears flooded my eyes. "I just watched the Lord Jesus fix this. And I was just, and you think it's possible, TSA rope or not, that I can walk by you and not pray for you? Are you kidding me? Father, I thank you right now." These guys are like, "What is going on?" But see, that's normal. That's normal when you're walking in a revelation and you're seeing the fruit of God in your life. That's just normal. It's not normal to be upset, to be angry, to be frustrated. Heaven doesn't understand that. We've grown up that way. That's not normal. What's normal is, I love you. So, I said, praying, right? There's no way he can check himself. He's in this body cast. He couldn't have done nothing to get out of that thing. That thing is on him, right? And I just said, sir, here's what I'm trusting and believing with all my heart. That you're coming out of this unscathed. That you have no backlash. Repercussions that when they take this thing off, you will know the hand of the Lord has touched you today. I'm talking to him, right? He's like, thank you, man. And I mean, a passion was all over me. I said, God bless you. I turned the corner and my arm got grabbed. I said, whoa. I turned, TSA got me. I thought. I said, oop, you know, no. TSA got me. I said, excuse me, sir, what's up? He said, I just want to thank you. Tears filled his eyes. He said, that was so beautiful and that was so awesome. I just want you to know I'm in total agreement with what you just did and we're for that. We just have to uphold safety and we had to yell at you because we didn't know what you were doing. But that was amazing, sir. And comment probably something like, I wish every Christian would need more of that, da, 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 da. But he just couldn't say enough about what he experienced and it convicted him into what's possible. And I looked at him and I said, sir, I'm watching God move in my life, man. And you think I can walk by him when I'm seeing bodies change in front of my eyes? Not today, buddy. Tomorrow it ain't going to happen either. Have a good day. So then I walk by and there's Mildred. Got out the oil bottle. So here's the funny part, the beautiful part, I mean. I'm over there getting my water and I hear this high-pitched voice. Older lady's voice, loud. She's at her gate. No papers in front of nobody's face because I'm gone. The threat's gone. The bold, forthright, outspoken man that's not ashamed tends to freak people out. He's gone. But Mildred's still there. Guess what she is right now, Bill? She's a preacher. It was amazing. She's in front of the people. You know how they have all the little seats for the people to get on the plane? She's standing right in front of the congregation. She's like this. She said, did you see? Did you see what happened? That man, he knew what was wrong with me. He told me exactly what had froze me and prayed. Look at me. Just look at me. She's 82. She's doing windmills. While she's preaching. All he did was touch me and prayed that God would heal me. And he told me that he thought he would. Look at me. I haven't done this in years. I'm like, oh! I had to go get on my plane. You pinch yourself and realize it's not a dream. It's just what's possible. Because he lives. And he lives in us. Man, let's not throw away this privilege, guys. Let's get rooted. Let's get grounded in love. Don't let life ever speak louder than truth. Because it's truth that makes you free. Amen. Don't let what you're facing and going through ever decide who you are. You let what he went through already settle it. You already won. He's in you and he wants to love. You get it? Every one of us can have a relationship with him. Every one of us. Whosoever. Anyone that comes. Deny yourself. Pick up a cross. Follow. Who's invited? Anyone that comes. You get it? It's not a theology you believe in. It's not a doctrine you sign up for and say yes to. You're not waiting for a trumpet to blow so you can go be with him. He's here now. It's not about going to heaven someday. It's about heaven coming right inside of you right now at your age. You go to public school or you homeschooled? Wouldn't this be awesome? What's your name? Skylar. Skylar? Wouldn't this be awesome? Just laying on your bed in the morning instead of bumming out because it's school day and got to get up. Bummer. Should have went to bed sooner. Okay, I get it.
Normal morning.
Watch this. Father, my body'd love to stay here. Sometimes school seems like a bummer, but you know what? It's a great honor and a great opportunity to go in there and have classmates all around me, and better yet, have you inside of me. Let my life speak loud. Let my life make a difference without me striving, without me trying hard or coming under pressure. I just believe you're in me, and I believe it's your good pleasure to live through me. So give me wisdom at school, and let my life be an example. And God, I just thank you for who you are in my life. And all of a sudden, you're laying on your bed, Skylar, and you're just talking like that, open-hearted to God, instead of, you know, school, got to take that test, second period, You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, you get this little vision of John. And he's just three lockers down. John's just three lockers down. You get this little vision. He's in his room, and he's all shook up, and you hear screaming in the background. You just get this little impression. You're like, that was strange. All of a sudden, you go to school, and there's John. All of a sudden, this boldness comes over you because you've been with the Lord. You're not just dreading school. You're with the Lord. All of a sudden, you slide over to John. This stuff is so possible. I could tell you so
many stories.
You say, hey, John, I know what's going on at home, man. But I was praying for you this morning. You came on my heart. I saw you were really struggling. I got the impression your emotions were shook up, and I heard a lot of screaming in your house, man. I'm sorry that stuff's going on, but listen, you can't get caught up in it. You can't just get, dude, Skylar, how in the blank do you know? Listen, John, all I'm telling you is God's changing my heart about life. I'm laying on my bed talking to him before school. You came in my, your face came in my mind. I heard screaming in the background. And I just heard to encourage you. Until you start praying, God can change this thing. Don't you lose heart. Don't fall apart. Don't get angry. And don't run away. Don't do nothing stupid, man. God showed me your face because he's saving you from something. Don't do nothing stupid. And you walk back to your locker and John's gone. And his heart's gone. Serious. I could tell you so many stories of just passing by somebody and saying, hey, bam. Telling them what they were thinking and about to do, and they wipe out. Why? Because he loves them. And he knows. And my heart's there. I'm not a complainer. I'm not frustrated about traffic or lights or parking places or people butting line. And none of that means nothing. I'm not caught up with that. Well, people just make me mad. Stop. That's just a sign that you don't know Jesus like you sing. Because people don't make him mad. When they were at their worst, he came. Where sin abounded, grace came even greater. Probably ought to come through us greater, huh? When they're at their worst, we probably ought to shine, huh? Not become a product of what we disdain. Because see, if you start letting them influence you, you'll slowly become a product of what you don't agree with and won't even realize it's happening. It's just good people talk like this now and then and keep us just sober. Because it's just too easy to do the holy is the lamb thing anymore in church. The songs are awesome. But what about seeing people through his eyes, and what about walking in love? You guys with me? Can we all step out and live this way at some level? We don't compare ourselves among ourselves. It's not about gifted. It's about believers. You say, well, yeah, but there's an anointing on your life. There's one on yours, too. He's anointed your head, your cup runneth over. He's strengthened your strength like the wild ox. Why? Because a wild ox can't be yoked. You're not a domestic ox. Nobody's yoking you to tread out the grain and go in circles. They take this big old beast of an ox, break his will, harness him, and make him walk in a circle to do the will of another. That's a yoke. Yeah. He can knock down every building and run over every person, and there he is, walking in a circle, treading out the grain, doing the will of another. Broken. A broken animal. Yoked. What's the anointing do? Remove the burden and remove the yoke. Yes. He strengthens you like the wild ox, because you can't be yoked. You ain't yoking the wild ox. He's going to beat you up. You guys with me? I don't even know where I was going tonight. I didn't even know what I did tonight, really. Told a couple stories. I don't usually tell those stories, but I felt like telling them. I felt like they were helpful to some folks, too. It's how you let your light so shine. You have a good attitude and a good disposition, and you'll see clear when you're in public. You look around, you'll be amazed what your eyes see when your heart's in a good place. You're complaining? It's a tough area, and I keep bringing it up, and I'm not trying to be redundant and condemn nobody. I'm just telling you, complaining is not the kingdom of God. It's an expression that you're not satisfied, that you're self-focused, and that you're being deceived. And the reason the Bible says to always stay thankful, when you lose your thankfulness, it's a sign that you've turned inward and you're weighing how things are affecting you. When you stay thankful, you're in a selfless place. It's just simple but profound. Life-changing if you walk this out. Sometimes we're looking for this deep stuff. It's right in front of us, simple. Paul said, I'm concerned for you, Corinthians, that like Eve was deceived by the serpent, you too have been removed from the simplicity that's in Christ. It's just simple. So you go to bed at night, thanking God for the gift of life, just being thankful. You go to bed thanking Him for His faithfulness. Wow, another day in the books, God. Just thank You for Your faithfulness, every seed that was sown. Doesn't seem like anything really earth-shaking happened today, even at work. But you know what, God? I know I walked in love, and I know I kept peace and made peace. And I know that You're setting a resume in men's hearts concerning my life. And I believe You're opening ears and opening hearts to the truth, even through my life. God, keep empowering me. Give me wisdom. Keep sowing. Keep watering through me, God, and bring the increase. Let Your will be done. Thank You for the gift of life. You crawl to bed, into bed, from that place, it's easy to get up in the morning. You go to bed with unresolved conflicts. You hug your pillow like it's a savior, and it's the only time you said God all day. Oh, God. Because you can't believe you made it through the day. We call it depression. It's just a wrong view. It's why you can't get up in the morning, because you don't face what you barely made it through. You don't want to face it again, so you don't want to get up. You get a right perspective and you go to bed with thankfulness, you'll rise with a fresh eye in the morning. You just will. Even if you were super challenged that day. I'm not talking about denial and making things up. I'm talking about getting a right perspective in the face of it all. I say this almost every weekend I travel. It takes two to tango. It takes one to make peace. You go to bed at night and there's things working against you. People doing wrong things. Stuff's going on. Father, all this stuff's going on. Sometimes it just seems crazy. I thank You. You've kept my heart guarded. Give me wisdom and a right perspective. I am not getting in a fight with no one. I'm not going to be a cat in a corner and defend myself. You're going to defend me in righteousness and in truth. I commit myself to You. You judge righteously. And I just thank You for Your great love. God, I go to bed thankful that I'm not in the same old rat race I used to be in. You're changing things in me, and You're going to change things around me. It'll all work out to the good. Thanks for loving me. Serious. And when you wake up, you won't dread those things. Wisdom will come, and God will make peace, and things will shift and change. And even if they don't shift and change, you won't shift and change. Why? Because your eyes are on truth, and you know why you're alive. You're not alive. Remember, we covered this yesterday. You're not alive for things to always go well for you. You're alive to shine. Okay? I was preaching like this in Alabama, and a young man raised his hand. I said, what's up? He said, man, I'm getting a revelation while you're speaking. I said, what? He stood up and he said, it was right during I'm preaching. I loved it. He stood up and he said, he looked at the people and he said, I just realized there's no bad days in Christ Jesus. No matter what's going on, there's no bad days. Everything's an opportunity to shine. And I went, dude, you're hearing what I'm saying. He said, man, you don't know what I'm going through. If Jesus took that language for one day, He'd have never made it to the cross. That's called feeling sorry for yourself. Man, you don't. It's subtle, but listen, you don't know what I'm going through. That's you internalizing the pressure and making it about you, and now you're reduced to praying for God to help you and get you out of the mess, change things. And the more time goes by, the more beat down you are, and the more puzzled, the more confused, and the more sad. I'm just being real. Not being insensitive, just being relatable. Feeling sorry for yourself is the biggest trap on the planet because you denied yourself, remember? So if you denied yourself, why are you feeling sorry for yourself? And it always puzzled me how we deny ourselves and have so many rights. Well, I feel, well, they said, well, that hurt. Die already. Like, serious. How do you deny yourself and have so many rights? Like, when you deny yourself, you give up all your rights to obtain one, to be like Him. And if you can't find the language in Him, don't let it be in you. See, if I take the way we think and talk and put it in Jesus' mouth, we'll all sit here and laugh. Like somebody coming to the throne of God to repent sincerely. Anybody ever do it here? Ever truly broken, truly sorry? Come to God and really be sincere? Ready for change, right? So wonder if you do that on the day you do that and God's sitting there on His throne. Oh, it's you. Okay, Skylar. Well, I mean, I wooed you before and you never came. I mean, 6 months ago, I wish you'd have come. You caused a lot of hell and pain in the last 6 months. I wish you'd come. In fact, I gave you probably the greatest opportunity of your life to come then. I'm still trying to figure out why you changed your mind. And now you're here and I'm supposed to trust you and just get over it. And how do I know you're not just desperate? And how do I know you're not just using me? And look, I just don't know that we have anything really going on anymore. I'm not even sure where I feel and where we stand. Anybody ever have those conversations in life with each other? Does it sound foolish in the mouth of God? Only because we painted God through the Scripture a certain way, but He made us in His image, so if it's foolish in His mouth, it should be foolish in ours. If He's not talking that way, why are we? Because we learned another language from another place.
So we're saying what He never said. Time to get born again. And it's not a prayer to go to heaven. It's a change of life.
Yay? Good. Okay. I didn't read anything out of here, did I? Is there anybody that's really important to? I mean, it's all good. And my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ. See, the legal meeting's legal. I quoted Scripture, didn't I? You know, meetings like this, I'm always excited when we gather together because to me, I love what God does when we're together. I love praying for each other last night. That's all fun. That's all good. And people that get changed, who knows that they reap the benefit of that, and that's awesome. But I'll tell you what excites me about getting together. Keeps us sharp, keeps us focused, keeps us fine-tuned. Empowers us to walk this thing out. Serious. We were just talking about the Scriptures. Paul said in Philippians 3, I believe it is, it's not tedious for me to write the same things over and over for you. You know how this thing crept in the church a while back? It says, well, I want something fresh. I want something fresh. I want some new man. I want some fresh sermon. I don't want the same old can. Nothing's stale and old about the Word ever. You know what I'm saying? People say, well, I want something fresh, and they haven't become what they've heard. Make sure you become what you've heard. Why would you want God to give you more if you haven't become what you've heard? I'm serious. Why would you even ask for gifting if you haven't moved out in the obvious? If you haven't stepped out in the obvious, why do you need gifting? Step out in the obvious and build confidence that God will move and flow, and then let gifting keep increasing as you stay faithful. Come on, if God gives you a talent and you put it in the ground, that wasn't a cool parable story. But if God gives you a few talents and you multiply it into a few more, that's pretty cool. So people say, well, I just need a word of knowledge. Why do you need a word of knowledge when you see people limping all the time?
Why do you need a word of knowledge when they have no hair and they're wearing a bandana and they're a woman that's 26? Guy just sat beside me on a plane, man. He didn't look well. Pale, looked weak, he was withdrawn. He sat beside me. He said, hey, did you ever get around people that have that cancer situation? There's just, it's not that they're not washing. They just have it. There's a smell, even about their skin and their body. It was a smell there. And I just said, hey, man, I'm glad you're sitting beside me, bud. I said, don't take this wrong. I'm not being nosy. I honestly care. I said, what are you going through, man? You got some real physical challenges. What's up? He said, oh, yeah, man, I got this cancer. He kept, like, burping. And he said, yeah, I'm going for this and this treatment. I'm going to this center in some state. He was flying to go get treatment. I said, listen, man, I don't know what you believe, and I'm not here to preach a sermon to you. Please, please, please take my hand and let me pray. That's how I said it. Tears just fill my eyes. I feel it now. I could cry right now. I said, please, 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 just take my hand. I didn't want to get in a theological debate. I didn't want to find out his doctrinal background. I didn't want him to tell me why God doesn't always heal and all the stuff people do. I just pleaded. I said, please, 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 give me your hand. Don't say no. Please let me pray for you. He said, that would be fine. See, I love that. What an honor. If I don't get involved and plant a seed, why do I expect a harvest? We intercede for our city because we want a move of God. Why don't we just sow into our city? Keep interceding, but why don't you sow into your city? Why do we intercede and not sow? Why do we just pray for change instead of live changed? You follow what I'm saying? As the garden causes the things that are sown in it to grow, so shall the Lord cause righteousness and praise to spring from the earth. It's not just about intercession for your city. It's about sowing into your city. Because if you sow, nobody ever was so spiritual. They looked out the window and said, honey, you see there ain't no corn? Why ain't there corn? I've been believing for corn for weeks. Well, honey, you didn't even get out there and plow the ground this year. Wow, just believe in God for corn. But you didn't even put no seed in the ground. But honey, I just was believing for corn. Yeah, but honey, there's a seed time and harvest time. It's the first law in the Bible. Seed time, harvest time, honey. You got to get out there and put seed in the ground. And you believe for that good harvest. You get it? We just praying for a move of God in our city. You're the move of God in your city. You're praying for the manifestation for God to come. You're the manifestation. Just keep loving people. Keep asking God for wisdom on how to love people. Get alone and pray and talk to God when nobody's looking and tell Him you're so willing to become one with His heart and look through His eyes and live like He created you to live without condemnation, without judgment, without shame. You are just willing to be grown up into Him in all things. Father me today. Help me be creative and just show me how many possibilities there are around me to walk in love. I am ready to love. If you'll just start talking like that when nobody's listening, just you and God, it's crazy good what'll start happening in your life. Okay? Okay. I'm going to do something quick before just because I talked about all these healings and all this stuff. We're just going to pray over everybody. I'm not going to take the time like I took last night and do the one-by-one thing, even though that's fun. That's cool. I like to do it that way. It won't be less effective. We just won't pray for the sick, and I want some folks to surround anybody that would need prayer. Even if you were here last night and you say, you know, that thing's just not all the way there, I'd love somebody to agree with me. We're just going to do it. We're going to pray, and we'll probably head on out of here. What I want you to do is take the words you've heard and be a wise man and woman. Don't just be hearers only. Be doers. Hear and become that word. And when the storm comes, nothing's going to move. Why? You're rooted. You're grounded.
been with him. You see? You get it? And then you're going to be in public. You're going to be at work. You're going to be at lunch. And somebody's going to tell you what they just got diagnosed with. Somebody's going to say their head's pounding. And you're going to look and your heart's going to thump a little. You're going to think, man, I'm at work. And some of you are going to think, man, I don't know if I could do this because I haven't been walking all that straight recently. All this stuff to try to talk you out of love. So what do you do if that's actually the truth and you haven't been walking all that straight? You slide over there and you be real. You say, listen, hey. Hey, Kent. I heard what you said about your head, man. Listen. I know you could freak out and shout out and say, yeah, you. I don't know if you even know this, man. I go to church pretty regular. And I know it don't seem like it sometimes, and I ain't been on my best, you know. But things are changing in my heart, and things are changing in my life, and I've noticed God's given me the grace to change some things. But he's really talking to me about caring about others and stepping out and believing him and not just going to church. Let me pray for you, man. The worst can happen is nothing, but I'm going to believe that God takes that pain out of your head. And he's going, you want to pray for me? Right here in the lunchroom? You? Yeah, me. Come on, man, just let me pray. We're saved by grace. God's changing my life, I promise. You'll see. But right now, I want him to change this thing in you. Well, go ahead, man. You promise him you ain't going to make a scene. You just pray. Wouldn't that be amazing? He looks at you and says, are you kidding me? And you're like, what's it going?
We had this guy step out with his friend and prayed for his back. He just got saved. His friend didn't even know he was saved. He's telling him he got saved. He's like, what? Yeah. And then he says, well, you're back, man. These guys were praying for each other and things. I want to pray for your back. You got saved and you want to pray for my back? And he said, they just were teaching, man. They just told me to step out and pray. And I know this is wrong. So, man, I guess you can, but I'm a little freaked out by whatever. God prays for him. He comes back and tells the story. We rolled out of our chairs, Paul. He prays for this guy. And he says, now after they pray, they tell people to bend and check. So he says, check. And he goes, what? What? He says, what? Don't it hurt? Are you serious? Check it again. Check it. After back and forth like this, like three times, he says, oh my gosh, you're healed. The guy that prayed. He's like, you're healed. So see, it just wasn't as complicated as we make it. You know what God honored in him? Just sincerity, simplicity, childlikeness. Hey, I just heard this. I'm going to act on it. Jesus likes that. I heard this. I'm going to act on it. What's the first thing you heard tonight? Rooted and grounded in love. Relationship. Thank you for loving me. You act on that tonight. If you've never been alone with God talking like that, make sure you do that tonight. I'm serious. You get alone with him, Father, I believe you value me. I believe you have an amazing heart towards me. I believe on my darkest, most willful day, you didn't stop loving me or lose sight of me. You've made it possible to walk out my destiny, and you have a good one for me. Keep growing me in it. I'm here to run with you. Thanks for loving me. Just start there. Crawl in bed in that place. Wake up in that place and keep growing. Amen. I said last night, don't be afraid to act like me. Just be the best you. Amen. You're sick in this place. You got a situation, whether you could check it, whether you couldn't check it. Last night we did it a certain way. I'm not doing that tonight. We're just going to pray. God's going to do sweet things. I believe it. I want to get you involved with me, okay? But don't take this lightly. You're sick in your body. You got something less than wholeness. A situation, an ailment, you're on meds for something, prescriptions. I need you to stand to your feet. You need healing in your body. You have less than wholeness in your life. Stand up. That's not a slam against you. That just means you're going through something. Don't you take those trials personal and say, what's wrong with me? Well, if I have more faith, I will be. Let's get off that condemnation wagon. Whatever you're experiencing, whatever you're going through, you receive God's love. It's really important. And don't let what you're going through become your identity. What he went through already settled you. Live from that place and let grace bust you out of that thing. Okay?
Anybody else? Do we need anybody else to stand? Please don't stay in your seat and just think this is a rhetorical ending to a service, because you're going to miss something if you do that. Please. Thank you, honey. Come on, if you need to stand, stand up quick. I know I'm waiting for just a couple people. I'm just damn. I just know it in my heart. I just need you to stand. You got things less than wholeness going on in your life. Somebody, you have weakness in your body. You're not as strong. It's just a basic word of knowledge. You're not as strong as you used to be. You feel like you have a fatigue and a weakness in you. In fact, I'll be specific. I see you trying to open a jar and it's just not the same. And you've been wondering why you're losing strength. I know that's in the room and you didn't stand. I need you to stand. Is that you? Exactly. Exactly. I saw it. That's coming back. Thanks for being humble enough to stand. You go home tonight, you open a jar and watch what happens, okay? I just honor you for standing. Give me your hand. Father, you showed me that. She was humble. I thank you. It's already done. I thank you. Strength come. No weakness. And watch this. No fear, no concern. Don't you let the strategy of fear come into your mind and start talking you into things and positioning you for things that are not the kingdom of God. In fact, I see this fear for a long time has just subtly whispered to you, wondering the worst would come. And if the worst would come, and would you ever have this and ever get this and ever? That is a lie from hell. If that ever tries to whisper to you, you lift your hands and thank God you're in a rock solid covenant and you're firmly on the rock and He is Jesus, your love and your King, and you stand strong in Him. Amen? So I just thank you, God, for that. You can sit down, because I tell you everything's going to be fine. Okay? Now listen, don't wait for a word of knowledge. Don't make me go fishing. I'm a good fisherman. You don't make me go fishing. I'm just serious. I saw her in the kitchen turning a jar and she's like, what is going on with my body? Something's not right. But I'm still waiting for like three people. You got stuff. Don't wait for me to call it out. Don't test the Lord. Just stand up. I'm waiting for three people. Just stand up. Less than wholeness. Thank you. I got one. I'm not moving until I get two. Please don't pull teeth with me here. Thanks. Last one.
Just forever hold your peace and get up.
Did they get up? The third one's up?
Yay. Was that you? Little one. I couldn't see you.
Little in stature, big in God. Amen? I saw you really listening tonight. Made you laugh a couple times too.
Yeah.
But I see your heart open for Him. Thanks for standing. Touch somebody. Get to somebody. Touch them. We're not doing like we did last night. We're just going to pray and we're going to all go home. But you're going to believe, right? Simple prayer. Don't get creative. Be healed in Jesus' name is all I'm hearing for you to say. You don't even have to ask them what's wrong. The people being prayed for, thank you, God, you love me. You're making all things new. Thank you for what you do.